Just me and you, girl. Whoa, whoa.
Mars. Her hair in the sink, she leave her hair on the floor. Her hair all over the bed, that make me love her more. She wear a scarf, Louis V the big sack. It's a rap, messing up a rap, blowing out a back. Never let another rap, nigga hit it from the back or the front. On my mama, nigga, I be gone for months, come back.
And it's still tight, I like when it's real tight.
I'ma lick in circles now.
Tell me what that feel like.
Feels like when you try to
hell yeah. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Tariq Nasheed, also known as King Flex, also known as Sexy Flexy. Whatever you want to call me, ladies, call me that. Today's show is brought to you by the new album by T-Shock. My man T-Shock the World, his brand new album is called Vanilla Seats, and you can get that at iTunes. Let me play a cut from the Vanilla Seats album on iTunes and Amazon. This is from the album.
I'm speaking to the people because the people listen. I'm plotting Clooney on them. Ocean's 11 business. I handle my business. The young Bob Johnson.
That is We Are One by my boy T-Shock down in Miami. Get his new album at Amazon.com or you can get it at iTunes.com. And today's show is also brought to you by Invisible Set-Ins. That's where you can get your diamond game up, get your jewelry game up, get the Invisible Set-In diamonds at InvisibleSetIns.com. If you want your wrist to twinkle, if you want your neck to bling, go to InvisibleSetIns.com. And don't forget, people, join me, your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, live in Charlotte, North Carolina, this Saturday. You guys have 3 days to get discount advance tickets. At the door is going to be $50, but the tickets are $29 on the website. Go to maclessons.com. Go on the top of the page where it says join Tariq in Charlotte. Get the discount tickets and join me. Now, if you get the tickets and they don't get to you in the mail, you can just give your name at the door. We're going to have a list for all the people who bought advance tickets so they can get in, so you don't even trip about having the tickets if you don't have them. A lot of people got their tickets already. It's going to be off the chain. We had a ball in Miami. It was a pack house in Miami. The Miami DVD will be out the first week of September. And it's a hot DVD. There's a clip on YouTube now from the DVD. The DVD is an hour and 40 minutes of hot fire. This Tariq Elite Live in Miami DVD. You do not want to miss that one. The game is very hot on that one. And the game in Charlotte is going to be hot. The game in Charlotte is going to be totally different from the Miami lecture. So all the people who went to the one in Miami, you can still come up to Charlotte. It's going to be that hot. And you guys are going to enjoy it. And we're going to have a ball. I want all my Charlotte people to hit me up on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Twitter.com/Tariq Nasheed. Hit me up on Twitter to let me know what's popping in Charlotte. I'm going to be in Charlotte. We arrived Thursday. So I want to know what's popping Thursday night, Friday night, and after the lecture on Saturday night. So we're going to be up in Charlotte making it do what it damn do. So get the tickets at maclessons.com. Now let me put on me some Mac and music so I can chop up game with the family. Now we're still doing the casting for the new film, The School. We're doing the casting for that right now. And I'd like to thank everybody again for helping us complete the funding goal on Kickstarter. Now, a lot of people have been hitting me up saying, well, Tariq, we've missed the Kickstarter thing. We still wanted to be involved. You can still be involved. People can still become producers and they can still donate to the film at maclessons.com. Go to the top of the page and there's a link where you can become a backer of the film or become involved or become a producer. So we still have it available, but we got the primary funding at Kickstarter and we're doing the location scouting right now, and we're doing the auditions and the casting right now. Really, we're getting submissions in. And the thing is, man, with the casting, because our script is done, we have the storyboard ready, so it's a fun process. It's a time-consuming process, but it's a very fun process. Now, as far as casting, the people who've been sending in submissions, and we haven't put out too many major casting calls. On a few websites, we put out casting calls, and we've gotten a lot of responses. So I got a couple of sisters that I'm going to audition that I've seen their stuff and I like what they're doing, because we're having people submit pictures and videos of themselves. So there's a couple of sisters that sent some stuff in. I want to audition them. A couple of cool white cats, they sent some stuff in. We're going to audition them. A couple of Latino young ladies, they sent some stuff in. We're going to check them out. We haven't done the casting for the Asian yet. We got a couple of Asian Latino brothers in there. But we need a strong African-American male lead, because he's going to have to carry the film. And the submissions that I've been getting from the brothers is garbage. Everybody else, man, I've been getting some stuff that I can work with. With the brothers, man, I've been getting garbage. My thing is this, brothers, I'm talking directly to the brothers out there. If you want to be an actor, please take your craft seriously. Take an acting class. See, a lot of these brothers out here, man, they don't want to take an acting class. They're like, okay, shit, nigga, I work at Taco Bell, but I can act if you want me to. It's that type of shit. It's very casual, cavalier. Now, you got to take your craft seriously if you want to be considered seriously. A lot of these other people, man, they're showing me some shit. They're going to their little acting classes. They're scraping up their money. They take the craft seriously. Sisters, Latinos, brothers, and I'm playing the devil's advocate here, because I can understand a lot of brothers are like, well, shit, ain't too many roles for us anyway, so why should I take a craft seriously when there ain't no acting work for me? I understand that, but damn, if you're going to get in it, get in it. Or if you're going to try to fuck with it, do your research and be a little thorough with it. Because brothers are sending me some bullshit. And in all fairness, we haven't done a major casting call yet. So I'm just saying this in all fairness. Because right now we're just feeling people out in different parts of the country. But some brothers are sending me some straight bullshit. Either it's on some wannabe gangster shit, or it's some extra moist nonsense. They're singing and twerking. So brothers got to step the acting game up. And what I was going to do, because, again, this film, I got to get a strong African-American lead. We got to get a brother who's between 19 and 24. And we put that in the casting call. I've been getting everything, but I've been getting old Morgan Freeman looking niggas sending in pictures. I'm like, man, you know good and well you can't pass as no damn college student. Nigga, we ain't doing Lean On Me Part 2. So brothers are sending in just crazy shit. Them singing, dancing, they doing everything but acting. Please, brothers, don't send me another email of you doing anything except acting. Our email address is elitecasting310@gmail.com. If you, and we're looking at everybody. I'm giving everybody a shot. If you're thorough, but be serious about it, because we're taking this thing very serious. This ain't going to be no funky finger production type of thing. My name is on this, so I try to make things hot if my name is on it. And we're also, what we're doing, another option, we're looking at established young African-American actors that have been in different projects, but we're trying to, you know, see if we can work with them on that budget a little bit. You know, our budget is limited. But, you know, I can do the brown paper bag thing. You dig? I've been hollering at a couple of established brothers that have been doing supporting roles out here in Hollywood. And we're hollering at them on the brown paper bag deal. And I was talking to my people on Facebook about which actors do they think we should be able to get? And some people would like, get Chris Brown, get Drake. I'm like, we ain't got no Chris Brown, Drake money, goddammit. Just be realistic. Just don't throw out some fucking names to be throwing them. I'm talking about a motherfucker I can slide this brown paper bag to with a couple of stacks up in there and get them to come on down and do a 2-week shoot. So we're looking at that option. There's a couple of folks I hollered at, man. This is one brother, Corey Hardrick. I like him. Very thorough brother. Very underrated brother. That's Tia's husband from The Game. Another cat, Tristan Weil. He's been in a couple of things. We like him. We're going to reach out to his folks. So we're trying to fill people out. Some of these people, some of these established actors, the pros and cons. The con is basically a lot of them, you have to deal with their management. Just like with Corey. I chopped it up with Corey. Corey's a good dude. He's a real cool guy, but he's like, you got to holler at my management. And I hate dealing with the Hollywood management shit. Because that's what gives Hollywood a bad name. These management, agent, middlemen. Because Hollywood is full of that. And these people are straight douchebags. Because they don't really have any kind of real power. They try to pretend they have more power than they have. So these agent managers are extreme douchebags. And I hate dealing with these Hollywood douchebags. See, the thing is, I've always gone around them. I usually deal with the source. I deal with executive producers, CEOs, or I deal directly with the talent. So I never really deal with the managers, agents. I don't really deal with that. And again, a lot of people come to Hollywood and they get a real negative view of Hollywood because you got all these middlemen who are fronting, and that gives Hollywood and the whole LA scene a very bad vibe, a very bad rep. So I hate dealing with them. I'm like, look, I'm not trying to deal with these middlemen. If I can holler at you, nigga, and slide you this brown paper bag with a few little things up in there, let's get it popping. But again, like I said, man, what we're going to do, we're going to put some casting calls out. We're going to go hard in the paint when I get back from my lectures and I'm going out the country. So when I get back, I'm going hard in the paint with the casting. I know we're going to get a whole bunch of crazy submissions. That's why I'm trying to narrow things down already. And again, it's not going to be no raggedy shit. This is going to be a thorough film. It's not going to be one of those films. And again, please, dudes, don't send none of your moist videos in. I'm not putting niggas in. I ain't putting the homies in there. You know, you see movies that have a lot of potential, then they just put a whole bunch of random homies up in there. Like one of those Dame Dash movies. It was one of the movies Dame Dash did. It was an independent movie he did, and everybody had on Rocka wear, and everybody's drinking Armandale vodka, and it was just real. It was like a big advertisement for his products. To me, that looks cheesy. It's like a Master P movie or something. I don't want it to be like that. I saw one Master P movie. Everybody had on some janky ass P Miller shirts. Y'all know that clothing line Master P tried to come out with? And I'm not shitting on Master P. I like Master P. But that P. Miller, that was some ill-fitting shit. And everybody in one of his movies had on P. Miller shirts. It was all out of context. It was a police officer with a damn P. Miller shirt. I mean, everybody's out of context wearing a P. Miller shirt. So it's not going to be like that. Our film is not going to be janky like that. Our film, I'm going to make it look like we spent about $5 million on it. With the limited budget we have. But I digress. Now, speaking of movies, we're going to be talking about the new movie that came out last week called The Help. And I've been talking about The Help for a few months now. I've been talking about my opinion about this movie, and they've been promoting this movie very heavily for the last couple of weeks, and a lot of people are now giving a lot of criticism to the movie, The Help. And again, I've been talking about this movie for a minute. And I'm about to give you a real review of this movie. You're going to get a real review today. No sugarcoating. Everybody's been putting their opinions in, and a lot of people have been waiting on me to give my opinion about the movie, and goddammit, you're going to get it. Now, let me say this. There are going to be spoilers. For those who have not seen the movie, there are going to be spoilers. I'm going to have to drop some spoilers on you. So if you want to see the movie and you have not seen the movie yet, I suggest what you do is just pause this recording, go see the movie, then come back to listen to what I have to say about it, so I won't ruin your movie going experience. So anyway, I saw the movie last week with the family. And I was on Twitter before I went to see the movie. I was on Twitter having a debate with a few people because, you know, I gave my opinion about the movie. A lot of people were giving their opinion about the movie to help because there was a trending topic about the movie. And a lot of people were critical of it. And the people who were running the help Twitter page, they were taking down a lot of the negative criticism of the movie. But a lot of people were critical of the movie and just the whole premise of the movie. And a lot of women, black women in particular, were criticizing me for criticizing the movie The Help. A lot of these sisters were kind of going in on me. A few white folks too. But the majority of the people who were going in on me were black women, talking about how I don't know what I'm talking about. I should see the movie. I'm jumping to conclusions. I should read the book. Because a lot of the sisters were saying stuff like, the movie The Help was so inspirational. It was so inspiring. And I was like, okay, hold on. Wait a minute. What is inspiring about a movie like this? Because from what I understood about the premise of the movie, there was really nothing inspiring about the movie. And I kept asking the women, the black women, what do you find inspiring about a movie full of black maids? What exactly is inspiring about this movie? Oh, no, you need to go see it. Oh, you just talking, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You need to go see it. Did you read the book? Oh, I didn't think so. I said, oh, okay. Let me go see it. Let me see where the inspiration is. Now, let me say this about the movie. First of all, the acting in the movie is great. I will give it that. Everybody's acting job was great in the movie. Everybody, across the board. Everybody was great as far as their craft, as far as acting. They were excellent. I will even go so far to say that the storyline, even though it was some Disney-type bullshit, it was entertaining. It wasn't a boring film. It entertained you. But inspirational? There was nothing inspirational about that movie whatsoever. Absolutely nothing inspirational about it. And again, the acting is superb. Viola Davis, great actress. And Viola Davis is a great actress in everything she do. Everything she does, she's a great actress in. Unfortunately, sadly, she has to get her shine from being in a movie like this. They could have easily created another vehicle for Viola Davis to really shine and give her acting chops. She would have been great in a whole bunch of other things. But the thing is, they're going to give this woman the Oscar. And I've been talking about this movie winning an Oscar for the last couple of months. And right now, they're talking Oscar buzz. People were calling me crazy saying that this movie is going to win an Oscar 3 months before it came out. How would you know that? You haven't even seen the movie. I didn't need to see the movie. Months ago, I've been saying this film is going to win an Oscar. On YouTube, there's a clip of me on YouTube talking about it, saying that this movie is going to win an Oscar. There's a YouTube video that was dated July 14th. And I've been talking about it before then. I've been saying that this film is going to win an Oscar. Just when I saw the movie poster, I knew that. Because it has good old-fashioned white supremacy, white superiority, black inferiority. That always wins. It had black inferiority, white superiority. The myth of that. But the thing is, like I said, man, even though the storyline is interesting and the acting is great, that does not take away from the fact that there's a movie with black women playing maids in 2011. There's another movie coming out with Gabby Sidibe. She's playing a maid. She had on a maid uniform. So it's propaganda. It's a propaganda film. And just to watch The Help, seeing black women being verbally demeaned and visually demeaned through the whole film, there's nothing inspirational about that. The Help is one of these, it's another one of these black people should take their oppression with dignity films. That's all it is. It's a black person should take their oppression with dignity films. That's all it is. Like, we're gonna kick your ass proverbially throughout the movie, but you have dignity about it, so that's honorable. When I was on Twitter, when people were going back and forth with me on Twitter about this movie, one white person said, they were like, well, Tariq, the movie is good because it showed that even though the whites had power and money and status, and the blacks were poor and they were subservient, the blacks still had moral superiority and the blacks still had grace and they had dignity. And that's what the movie was about. And I said, that's why this movie is bullshit. Exactly what you said is why this movie was bullshit. Because the thing is, grace, morality, dignity, all this shit, all of that without economic power and social power, it don't really mean shit. And they know that. All that dignity you're supposed to have and you're economically disenfranchised, it means nothing if you don't have any kind of economic power, economic structure, social power. That's why they don't mind doing movies like that. They'll have a movie where the black folks can get off a couple of zingers on the whites as long as they're still in maid uniforms. See, they don't mind that as long as the social construct shows that the whites are in a superior position. Now, in the movie The Help, they had the black women sassing and talking slick about white folks behind their back a little bit. But that's harmless. See, it's a harmless, bullshit Disney type of film. It was a very harmless, non-threatening film. That's why white folks love this movie. White folks are just crying in the aisles over this movie. They absolutely love it. And again, like I said, dignity and pride and grace, all that don't mean nothing if you are being oppressed. See, the thing is, when whites are being oppressed in movies or any other kind of ethnic group besides black, when they're being oppressed, they rise up against their oppression. They rise up against the oppressor. They become equal or superior to the people or the things suppressing them. Like if somebody's doing something to them in a movie, they'll rise up and kill them. Or they'll rise up and turn into a superhero. They'll turn into Captain America. They'll turn into Spider-Man or Superman. They'll do something to become equal to the people suppressing them. But in black movies, we're supposed to take an ass whooping and do it with dignity. You're going to get your ass whooped, but just keep your head up while we're whooping that ass. That's the message that they send. And I can't co-sign that. And people talk about, you know, a lot of sisters who don't know the game. They're like, oh, it's so real. We just got to deal with what happened, reality. A lot of y'all don't know what y'all talking about. It's a half-truth reality. They're telling half the story. Because first of all, what we're led to believe in the movie is that most of the white people were wealthy. Which was, and I've said this a million times, in the South, in Mississippi, in the early 1960s, all these white folks weren't rich like that. In the movie The Help, all the black people are dirt poor, and all the white people are having little dainty debutante balls. All the white people are like wealthy socialites. And that's just not reality. And I can understand them visually wanting to do that because of the dichotomy creates a big time social rift. I can understand that. But let's not talk about how real it is, because that shit ain't real. And a lot of movies are like that when it comes to dealing with the South. They always portray like the Southern white women in these movies, in these period pieces, movies from the 60s, 40s, 50s, 30s. They always portray them as the Southern belle, the dainty, well-to-do, sitting under the sycamore tree, drinking sarsaparilla. Oh, my, it's hot out here. That country shit. And that's some Hollywood creation, because that whole Southern belle, that's a Hollywood creation. In the South, show the real deal. Show some of them toothless hillbillies down there. Show some of them goddamn redneck women out there who used to make moonshine in the backwoods. Show some of them crazy white women who used to yell and scream and spit on black kids going to school during the civil rights movement. Show that. That's the real shit, if you want to keep it 100. Because that's another thing about the help. They didn't tell the real deal about the racism down there. They made the racism, they regulated the racism to one person in the movie. It was really one person being real racist in the movie. It was one female, one of the ladies who employed the one of the maids. So all the racism was regulated or relegated through one person. Everybody else in the movie weren't really that racist. That was the whole consensus, which was totally inaccurate. If we're going to get a talk about what's accurate and what's not accurate, everybody else in the movie just seemed to go along. They were happy-go-lucky. They weren't really racist. They were just a part of the environment, just going along with the times. It was that type of thing, which was bullshit. And the reason why they did it like that is because that relieved the audience from guilt. They made one person this extreme, over-the-top, cartoon-like racist, so the white moviegoers will look at that and be like, oh my God, that's not me. Thank God I'm not racist. Wow, she's racist. Because the chick was like, nigra this and nigra that and nigga that. So they made her over-the-top racist, so there was a disconnect with her and the audience. The audience couldn't see themselves in that because it was so extreme. So it's some real deep stuff, man, when you watch the movie and really, really peep what's going on and look at the psychology of the movie. See, a lot of black folks who are co-signing the movie, they're just spouting off what they think that white folks want to hear. Black folks, they're scared. They're liking what whites are telling them to like. They're falling for the okey-doke. I don't fall for the okey-doke. I understand the psychology of these movies. But the thing is, man, the whole vibe of the movie was basically, it was like, well, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that racist. There were a few bad apples, but it wasn't that bad. That was the whole vibe. Yeah, there's a little racism down here, but it's not that bad. And as we know, that's totally inaccurate. Now, another thing with the movie, when it started off, it had all the little slave talk in it. Viola Davis is on some shit. She's talking to a little white kid. And the book was worse, because I've read some excerpts from the book. And the book has been criticized for a lot of the dialect in the book, because the writer of the book, a white lady, she dug into her old bag of stereotypes with this, the book and the film. Some of the dialect was like over the top Amos and Andy Coonish. I read a couple of things. It was like eyes going down to the stores, that type of shit. You's gonna go down there. You's still feels tied. Eyes gonna go. Just real over the top nigga shit. And let me say this. Black folks didn't talk like that in the 1960s. That's the thing. White folks, if you're going to do some stereotypical voices, at least get the stereotypes right. get the chronology of the stereotypes right. In the 1960s, black folks, even in the South, weren't running around talking about I's gonna go, yous don't know what I's got to go. Black folks didn't talk like that in the 60s. Go back and look at some archival footage of black people in the 1960s in the South. Show me one black person talking like that. A younger black person. An older black person may have talked like that, because in the 1960s, an older black person would still have been born sometime in the late 1800s. But they had younger black folks talking like, eyes going down. Young black folks didn't talk like that in the damn 60s. I challenge you to show me some footage of a young black person talking about I's gonna go down, you's gonna go down. Fuck out of here with that shit. But in the movie, though, you know, they toned down some of the I's gonna go, but they threw some of that in there. And Viola Davis, she was talking to a young little white kid, and this was throughout the movie. Throughout the movie, it's like, you is smart. You is kind. You is important. I mean, she's telling this little white girl this throughout the whole movie. Real mammy-ish. It was a mixture. It was a mixture of mammy and magic Negro. It was a magic mammy. And then they had Octavia Spencer. She was doing the sassy mammy role. And they had her biting chicken wings and shit. She's talking, I got to look you square on. And she's biting pieces of chicken. And she's talking some shit like, frying chicken just makes everything right. I'm like, okay. Who's writing this coon shit? They dug real deep into their bags of stereotypes. And black folks, come on, man. Y'all can't see this crazy shit they're writing? Black folks, don't come to me talking about, oh, this shit is so real. I mean, come on, this ain't real. What black person you know talking about frying chicken just makes everything all right? Who says that? Y'all niggas gotta be on some, come on, man. Stop going for the okie doke. Don't try to sell me on the shit that the white folks have sold you. And another thing that I really didn't like, they found a way to throw the black man under the bus in this movie. There was a real unnecessary scene in the movie, and it was a part of the book, and I can understand them taking some parts of the book out of the movie and leaving some parts in, but this part was very unnecessary. It had no bearing on the plot line whatsoever. One of the maids, I think her name was Minnie or some shit like that, She had an abusive husband, and they didn't show the guy's face or nothing. They just implied that he beat her right before she was about to get beat. So, oh no, Leroy's gonna beat me. Then he beat her. They didn't show his face. They didn't show him right before he was about to come into the scene and beat her. They cut it off, and you didn't hear no more about it for a minute in the movie. And I'm like, God damn, that was kind of random. And they didn't make another reference to it in the movie. Now, later on in the movie, about an hour later, she's at somebody's house. She had a black eye. They were like, oh, you shouldn't let him do that to you. And then they didn't talk about it no more. It was just a real random, unnecessary scenario that didn't even need to be in the movie, because it had no bearing on the plot line. It was just crowbarred into the movie to really throw the brothers under the bus. And what was funny about that, all the men in the movie, they didn't throw any other men under the bus but the brother. All the white dudes in the movie, they kind of portrayed them as happy-go-lucky. They didn't portray no white guy negatively in this movie. I mean, straight up and down. And this was in 1961, 62, Mississippi, during the Jim Crow civil rights era, during the height of that. Well, white dudes in real life was down there bashing motherfuckers' heads in with bricks. They were doing some real vile shit. They were down there lynching black folks in Mississippi. They were doing all types of crazy shit. And now you got this movie. All the white dudes are happy-go-lucky, and the only negative one is a black man? And y'all talking about this movie ain't that bad with the... Okay. All right. Some of y'all don't see this stuff, and it's right there in your face. Y'all got to start calling this stuff out. Y'all have to call this nonsense out, people. And then they had Cicely Tyson in there. And I love Cicely Tyson, but please, y'all, give Cicely Tyson some other roles besides mammies and slaves and maid. Cicely Tyson, they always put her in the slave, mammy, Harriet Tubman roles. And, you know, they had her doing her thing. She was an old elderly maid. And I love Cicely Tyson, by the way. Cicely Tyson was great in the movie Hoodlum. She played the Madame St. Clair in Hoodlum. She played like a policy queenpin in Hoodlum. And Hoodlum was a very underrated movie. And I've always said that. That's one of my favorite movies. Very good movie. Very underrated. And it didn't get enough shine because it didn't show the black people negatively enough. And that was a period piece. It was based on a true story. Historically accurate for the most part. But they don't co-sign that. See, white folks want to see their niggers inferior. In Hoodlum, black folks was whooping ass. Black folks fought back. They didn't take ass whoopings in that movie. But, oh, no, we can't see that. But if you niggas are like, yes, sir, eyes coming to get you, man. That's what they want to see. And a lot of white folks, and I kind of get on your case about this, because a lot of whites are like, hey, dude, it's just fucking movie. Because a lot of these thought patterns that these movie-going audiences have, it's subconscious. A lot of people don't know why they like movies like this. So it's not a proactive thing for the most part. And I learned this from Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. A lot of these behavior patterns, it's not like, I'm just going to go out and watch this movie because of this. It's really subconscious. So a lot of you don't know why you like The Help so much. A lot of you don't know why you don't like movies like Hoodlum or movies where black people are equal or superior. You don't know why you don't like those movies. You don't know why you get so emotionally wrapped up in movies where black folks are, ooh, yes, sir, massa, yes, sir, eyes impotent, use impotent, use kind. You don't know why you like movies like that. That's why I suggest you get into Dr. Francis Cress Welsing's work and get my documentary, Hidden Colors. That'll help you out a little bit. But that movie had that, though. But as far as Cicely Tyson, very interesting scene in the movie. Very interesting scene in the movie. She was a maid. She got real old. There was a lady named Skeeter, who the movie was really about. White girl named Skeeter. She came back down south with her family. The old maid, Constantine, that's who Cicely Tyson was. She got fired. And she was trying to figure out why Constantine had been fired. So they were doing little flashbacks and recollections and all this. So they had this heartwarming, tear-jerking scene where Skeeter's mother explained why they had to fire Constantine. They fired her unjustly because the mother was showing out in front of some white folks. So they fired Constantine because she got old and Constantine's daughter was going to take her place. But they fired both of them because they got into a little argument. And the daughter was like, oh my God, you fired Constantine? What happened? Where is she? And the mother was like, well, she packed her bags after we fired her and she moved to Chicago. And then Skeeter was like, well, oh my God, she's crying. White women in the movie are crying. Well, oh my God, we got to go up there and get her. And the mother said, well, you know, we went up there to get her. But when we got up there, she died. She had already died. And then Skeeter was like, oh my God, she died. She died of a broken heart. And all the white women in the movie theater are crying. I'm looking like, get the fuck out of my face with this bullshit. Because this is the message. The message is this black maid got a broken heart and died because she could no longer work for white folks. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Black folks who've seen the movie, is this what they're trying to tell us? That this black woman, this old black woman who had kids of her own, heart was broken and she died because some white folks fired her because she could no longer work for white folks, so she died. I'm like, get the hell out of my face. That's some white science fiction right there. They had shit like that in the movie. And those who have a certain level of consciousness, we can peep that and we can see it. Real deep stuff, man. And there was another scene. They telling one of the chicks, many. They were like, hey, if you want to work for us, you can be our maid for the rest of your life if you want to. And I'm like, oh my God, this is Coon Mammy Magic Mammy Negro Fest. And the thing is, black folks, really know your history before you co-sign this stuff and act like it's real. And I'm talking to sisters. Brothers kind of know the game. Sisters who've been arguing with me about this movie, again, if it's entertaining to you, I can understand that. But all that inspiration stuff, stop pretending that this is inspirational. This is not inspirational. It's really insulting. They make it look innocent. It's some real insulting shit. I saw a YouTube video of this older black woman that it was a guy. He interviewed his grandmother, and he was asking his grandmother about the movie. And she was like 93 years old. And she was breaking the game down. She was telling how it really was. And she's been saying a lot of stuff that I've been saying. She was like, well, you know, I was a maid. You know, I worked as a maid down south and around the country and all that. And those white families weren't that more well off than we were. Our homes were more well kept than theirs. You know, they just didn't know how to maintain their homes. That's why they hired us, and they didn't want the white women to work and all this stuff. So, you know, we had to come in and help out, but it wasn't like they were doing that much better than us financially. So this sister was breaking the game down. And the thing is, man, movies like that, and movies like the Help, all these movies, man, these movies are not there to inspire black folks. These movies are not there to create some kind of sisterhood. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to make the movie seem like some kind of sisterhood between black women and white women. That's the way they're portraying it. That's why a lot of sisters, black women, are co-signing this movie, because they think this is an opportunity for them to bond with their white co-workers and all that. Because a lot of you black women, I know your white co-workers, they're like, oh, I love the Help. This is your little chance to bond with them. They ain't trying to bond with you. It's fake as hell. They'll bond with you as long as you're the maid, just like in the movie. Your sister, y'all can sit at the table and laugh and joke, but at the end of the day, you're gonna clean that table and mop the goddamn floors. That ain't no sisterhood. That's inferiority. You're still going to be an inferiority. You're going to be in an inferior position compared to them if you allow yourself to be. That movie, The Help, is not about black or white. It's not about black-white relations like they try to make it out to be. This movie is about a white girl coming of age and the magic mammies who inspired her. That's all it is. It's not no movie about black white sisterhood, because they kind of had a little feminist twist in it. It's about a white girl coming of age and some magic mammies that gave her the inspiration to do so. And the thing is, man, movies like that, man, they're very sneaky and they're very damaging to the self-esteem of black folks. Because the thing is, it's subtle, and y'all internalize the inferiority complex these movies try to create. And there's a lot of movies out like this. Blind Side is like out. The movie The Blind Side is like this. Precious is like this. A lot of these movies that's out are like this. This is why there's such a lack of confidence and such a low self-esteem within the black community. This is why we look at World Star Hip Hop and there's fights on there every day, and it's YouTube fights of black folks beating the hell out of each other, because there's an inferiority complex that cats are getting looking at movies like this. And the thing is, man, before you watch a movie like this, you gotta watch Hidden Colors to get some perspective of the game, so you can play past all the inferiority complexes they try to implement in your brain. And you know what's funny? All these women that's co-signing The Help, oh, I love it, it's so inspirational. People like that, if you try to let them watch Hidden Colors, they'll be the first ones complaining. Oh, Hidden Colors, is this some African shit? I don't want to watch no African shit. But do you want to watch some black women as maids? Oh yeah, I'm inspired by that. You understand what I'm saying? See how ass backwards some black folks are? to co-sign some shit like this that's trying to tell you you're inferior? And so black folks, play past that. Get Hidden Colors, learn the game before you go see a movie like The Help. Because if you know the game first, you can just look at a movie like that as entertainment. You know not to internalize none of that stuff. And you can see it for the entertainment it is. It is what it is. But you will not internalize that. That's my message to black folks, because that's my biggest concern. Black folks sitting up talking about some shit like this is inspirational when it's really low-key insulting you. And let me, white folks, let me not let you off the hook either. Because I can understand why you want movies to make you feel good, and if watching cooning Negroes shucking, jiving, yassa, nosa, if that makes you feel good about yourself, I could, that so be it. That y'all need to come to my lecture in Charlotte, because I'm going to get real deep into that. But the thing is, white folks who like the movie The Help, talking about how great this movie is and it's bringing back all types of nostalgia. From back in the day, you know, some of y'all might have had a little mammy growing up. You might have had a maid. You might have had a nanny who took care of you. Let me tell you something. Your maid, your mammy didn't really like you. Oh, I know you watched The Help and you're like, oh my God, I wonder how Aunt Minnie is doing. I wonder how Aunt Sarah's doing. I wonder how Mammy Jones is doing. Mammy couldn't stand your ass. Don't let the movie The Help fool you, how the black folks are just so doting over the white kids. Oh, you is kind. You is smart. You is important. You know, they used to do that because they had to do it. They needed to feed their family. That nostalgic view that you have. Look, Mammy would have smothered your ass with a pillow if she could have gotten away with it. Mammy couldn't stand you. I hate to break it to you. Do you think that Mammy really liked getting up 6 a.m. back in the 1940s, 50s, 60s? You think Mammy liked getting up, getting her own kids together, getting her own family together, getting them off to school, getting them off to wherever they needed to go, then getting on a bus, sitting in the back of that motherfucker because it was the Jim Crow bus. They had to sit in the Jim Crow section. You think she liked getting on that bus, going over to the white side of town, cleaning up your funky house, wiping your little ass, cleaning your spot, slaving over your stove, then having to get back on that bus before 5:30 because they couldn't be in your neighborhood after 6 because they had those sundown town laws. They'd get assaulted or lynched being in your neighborhood after 6 and getting home and doing this shit all over the next day. Do you think Mammy liked that shit, fool? The fuck you sit up in this movie crying, oh my God, I miss Nana. Nana would have smothered you with a fucking pillow. Nana would have poured hot chicken grease on your ass if she could have gotten away with it. I'm telling you what I know. My grandmother used to do that, and she wasn't all, oh, I wonder how little Sarah's doing. She didn't give a shit. Nana, Mammy, Aunt Jemima couldn't stand you. That's the reality of the game. Don't get all teary-eyed over these movies with that science fiction-ass bullshit that wanting to believe that black folks wanted to work for you and they took pride in working for you. No, they didn't. They used to talk shit under their breath right when they was taking care of you. When you were a kid, you probably couldn't hear her. When you thought you were hearing things, that was her talking shit about you. You sitting in the corner playing with a little ball or dolls, and Nana's looking at you like, I can just drown this little heifer. What'd you say, Nana? You is kind, you is smart, you is important. Oh, thanks, Nana. This little heifer, I gotta cook this bitch's meal. What'd you say, Nana? I say you is smart, you is kind. I gotta pick the headlights out of this bitch's hair. What'd you say, Nana? You is kind, you is smart. She was talking all types of shit about you. Them sisters did not like that. I had a grandmother. They didn't like working for your ass for shit. don't let none of these little negresses out here fool you. They didn't like it. So you can dry your tears up. There ain't no bond there. I hate to fuck up your little fantasy there, people. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. I hope you had a good time tonight. I hope you had a great time. Don't forget to join me live in Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend. It's going to be off the chain, everybody. Join me. It's going to be popping. Go to maclessons.com. White, black, candy stripe. The game is going to be good for everybody. Come on down and get some of that good game. I'll holla at you. Peace.